Worship team, I enjoyed that. Now, last week we asked the question, how do I raise a boy? And what I sought to say is that what boys especially need are dads, men, who take on big dreams and are undaunted by setback. And if they can do that in the presence of our young men, it heals them of something that they are really struggling with now. It takes, in order to do that, a good relationship with the Heavenly Father, who forgives us our own setbacks, and to have faith that in the end, the Heavenly Father will bring all things to a good end. I am assuming that our sons, and now our daughters, not only need their own mom and their own dad, but many fathers and many mothers, many aunties and many grandmothers who surround them and create an environment in which it is healthy for them to grow up loving God, grow up healthy inside and strong. So this is why I'm speaking to all of us here, that we have these wonderful children and young people in our church, and you all play a part in being good church family to them. Well, how to raise a girl? This last week, I was driving Jill somewhere, and I said, Jill, have you given any thought to what you want to say about how to raise a girl? And she said, well, actually, I have been thinking about some things. I said, well, what is that? She said, well, first of all, fewer dad jokes. And secondly, I'd like a dog. So those two things are what I guess every girl needs. I want to end up in Isaiah 51:12, which is a verse that could very well go on the wall of every daughter. And not only every daughter, but all of us. And so we're going to get there. Before we get there, I want to give some of the lay of the land of what girls are growing up into and what it looks like their particular struggles are in the kind of world that we have. I again want to go to Leonard Sachs, whom I introduced you to last week. He has seen thousands of children and not only wrote a book about boys, but also a book about girls. And what he says is that the girls he sees are very anxious and they lack durable emotional centers. They are anxious inside and in turmoil. And if for boys, a useful way to understand what is going on in their world is the phenomenon of video games, for girls, it seems the corresponding window into their world is online social networking, like Facebook and textbook and Instagram and Snapchat and many other things I know nothing about. And if, and not judging whether video games or online networking are good in themselves or bad, but to say that they both present a false world. And for video games, I said that it is how easy it is to reset when things go wrong in the game and start over again. But that is just not the way that real life is. You make bad decisions and then you have to live with those decisions. Well, with online social networking, the false world that is created for girls is it encourages them to present themselves as they think they should be or as they want to be, but not as they actually are. And Leonard Sachs talks about the girl in her bedroom with her smartphone, neither with actual people nor alone. She is, as Leonard Sachs says, living her life before a crowd, and it's not a good thing. There is a price to be paid for always being on display, and that is the turn to obsessions. For many girls, it is the pursuit of the amazing girl image, in which they have to have top marks and be the best athlete and have the most friends and have the best boyfriend. And though good marks and athletic performance and having friends are not bad in themselves, When it gets set up as absolutes, it can be devastating to the girl when suddenly they don't get good marks and their friends go away and they don't get the top medal in sports. And they wonder who's left behind that. And then there are creeping up behind their obsessions that really are unhealthy, like anorexia and binge drinking and cutting. And especially pernicious is the world's constant message that if you want to get ahead in life, it is through sex. Sex puts you at the front of the line, and if you don't have that, then you're at the back of the line. These kinds of things are really hard on girls and their center, their emotional center. Now, each of these disorders have their own necessary responses. But the question I want to ask this and answer this morning is this. How do we begin with a healthy environment for our girls so that they grow up with good things already in place in their heart and their mind and their feelings in order to be able to resist the kinds of temptations and obsessions that are thrown their way? How do we start with a good environment? And here I come to Isaiah 51:12, which says, I am he who comforts you. And that first I is the address. Pay attention to me. I am saying something to you. Get your mind off of all the things that are distracting you, all the things that you are placing your trust in, and get your eyes on me, because I am the one who comforts you. To start there with that relationship with God. Now, the verse then goes on and talks about things that we fear that we shouldn't. It goes on to say, who are you that you are afraid of man who dies, of the Son of Man who is made like grass? And we can adapt it for girls and say, who are you that you trust in man who dies, in the Son of Man who is made like grass, in marks that die, in metals that are made like grass, and all the things that are easy for a girl to latch onto and say, this is going to save me, and realize that these things do not come through in the end. In the end, God is saying to girls and to all of us, I am the one who comforts you. I am reminded of that remarkable relationship in C.S. Lewis's Chronicles of Narnia between Aslan the lion and Lucy Pevensie. And Aslan is the picture of Jesus Christ in those Narnia books. And if you've read them, you know it's a really wonderful relationship between these two. Aslan the lion is strong and wise, and he's a lion, and he's king. And he loves Lucy, and Lucy loves him back. But again and again, Lucy tries to manipulate or go off in a different direction. And each time, Aslan pulls her back. No, 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 not that way, not that way. Me. I am the one who loves you. And it is a good story for girls to read. And just look at that relationship between Lucy and Aslan. This morning, I just read chapter 10 of The Voyage of the Dawn Treader, in which Lucy sneaks off and reads the magician's book and is tempted by the things in there. This is exactly what happens in social networking. The temptations are just, except Lewis anticipated them 50 years before. And then Aslan comes in and they embrace each other, and then Aslan explains to Lucy the ways in which she wandered off and shouldn't have, and why they hurt her, and why his way is best. Now, a healthy daily relationship with the Heavenly Father for all of us takes the load of expectation off of all our other relationships. And it is a vital principle for girls, boys, husbands, wives, fathers, mothers, singles, seniors, whoever you are, to be able to get that relationship with God first and in order. Because if you can do that, then you take the load of expectation off of all your other relationships. so that they don't have to perform for you. They are not the saviors. They are not the ones who have to make you happy. It is with God. He is the one who comforts you and me and us. Whenever I must do a premarriage counseling session with people who are not believers, they're unbelievers, then I always try to explain to them best as I can why it is so worthwhile and important to have Jesus at the center of your marriage and family. And the reason I give to them is this, that if Jesus is there at the center, then he takes your expectations and your sorrows and your desires and your wants, and he can take them, and then you don't project them onto your spouse who is not a perfect enough person to hold that load for you. So if Jesus is at the center of your marriage and your family, then it allows the marriage to make mistakes and fail and head off in wrong directions and get corrected again without it ever becoming a crisis. If Jesus is not there and the spouse disappoints, then what are you going to do? Jesus holds our expectations and our wants, and he carries them, and he carries them well. And then when he carries them, then we are so much freer to forgive each other, to live with each other, to move and grow and change with one another. It begins with that, I am he who comforts you. And if you can get to that point, then all the other relationships around you go to a much better place. The outcome of attention to God is real peace and real joy. The spiritual mothers and spiritual aunties and spiritual grandmothers, and I might as well just go on, spiritual fathers and spiritual uncles and spiritual grandfathers that are among us. You can be God's channel for this heavenly peace and heavenly joy to our girls. Given the particular situation of today's girls, you can practically do this through, and here I put down two things that I think would be very, very valuable for our girls. First of all is real presence, and secondly is experience in itself, and I'll explain that. By real presence, I mean bypassing the whole online social networking world of Facebook and texting and actually arriving in the actual place where they are and being beside them and talking to them right there. Because if you are there, it is so much harder for them to put on a persona, an image. They just can't pull it off. They have to be who they are. I've heard it called WYSIWYG time. What you see is what you get. And more girls need that WSYIWYG time. They need lots of it. They need way more of it. Where you are just beside them and you're talking to them as they are. It is to get into their physical proximity, not through the internet, beside them. And once a church mother gets within range of a girl, she has fantastic powers to decide how that girl shall feel about herself by how the church mother feels about her. There's a transfer that takes place. If the church mother comes to the daughter and is happy to be with her, is at peace with her, is content with her as she is, then the transfer takes place where the daughter then says, well, then that's how I'm going to feel about myself. I'm going to be at peace with myself, be content with myself, and you begin to rebuild that important emotional center that she really needs. It has the interesting parallel to what we've been talking about, fathers, church fathers and young and boys, in which if the father can model in front of the boy to not be upset if mistakes happen, but just to take it in stride, then boys, Then the transfer takes place, and the boy thinks, I can do that too. I will just take my setbacks in stride. But once again, this is not really possible unless church mothers and church aunties and church grandmothers have their own relationship with God and recognize that God treats them in the same way, that he is content with them as they are. And if they can get that right, then they can be with the daughters in our church and be content with them as they are. The other thing I wanted to recommend as a practical application is this thing, experience in itself. And by that I mean just new experiences that are meant to be enjoyable in themselves and cannot be cashed out online as another feature of my amazing girl persona. Just to do something fun for its own sake. So that there is no grade on it. Oh, you got A+ at this. Or advancement or comparison with others. It's just important to get girls into many different situations so that they can feel themselves in that place. And so I just look at, you know, how valuable for call it Francis to get a bunch of girls in with her dogs and just enjoy being with the dog. You know, Brenda Woodall has horses, and Ruth Ratzliff has quilting. Not have any of those things in which they're constantly taking selfies of themselves on the horse, but just enjoy riding the horse. And if girls can have these wide-ranging experiences, then they realize that the world is way bigger than the thing that they might be obsessing about. And it's very, very healthy for them. These are practical ways to take the minds and hearts of girls off anxieties and obsessions and make space in their heart and mind to respond to God, who is speaking to them. He is saying to our girls, I am he who comforts you. He is the one who heals and restores and provides and protects as nothing and no one else can do. For our girls and for all of us, it is God who comforts and heals us. Let us hear his voice and respond. Amen. Lord Jesus, we do place ourselves before you. We get our eyes off of all the things that distract us, recognizing that these fears and these hopes in different directions are not the answer. You are the answer. We look to you, and we look to you for your healing in us. Thank you, God, for how good you are, faithful and strong and true and wise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Your heart in the stream of life, let the pain and the sorrow.
The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. You are dismissed.